Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. This week and next, we're sharing with you something that God has so placed on our hearts, praying for an awakening in America and around the world. This was brought to our attention very strongly, suddenly, supernaturally, June 29th, 2008, here at Prayer Mountain, our Sunday afternoon corporate prayer. We meet every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I invite you to come if you can. We were praying about the upcoming election, which would be in November 2008. We were praying about Israel. We were praying about our nation, of course, and we were praying about the world. God interrupted us with a move of the spirit of prophecy that dropped heavily upon me. And he said this, even in a rebuke, there is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. There is one thing that will help Israel and the world. It is an awakening to God. Now, we're going to look at awakening next week, but right now we're looking at what did he mean when he said one thing will save America? What does America need saving from? He's not speaking of individual judgments. You know, the individuals in the church are judged at the judgment seat of Christ. But he's talking about the judgment of nations as nations. We've gone into some of that, how it climaxes in Matthew chapter 25. But we open today with a statement, actually a question that was asked to Billy Graham. Someone asked him, "Will God judge America?" He answered, "If he doesn't, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." Everything will know judgment. The word is filled with the fact that nations as well as individuals will know judgment. Nations as well as individuals will know their futures by how they align themselves with the judgments of God. What are God's judgments? They are not just about the final judgments. God's judgments are introduced to us first in His Word as His decrees on any matter. They are His revealed will. On all matters that we have to deal with, He's given us a book. And in that book, we have His opinions, it's kind of a weak word, but we have His judgments about that thing. And these judgments are not to be thought of as evil and bad. They are good. Isaiah 61:8 says, "For I, the Lord, love judgment." Psalm 19:9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Did you ever think about God's judgments as sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb? God's word is His judgment. This is what He says about the matter. This is what He says about life and the living of it. Oftentimes when the Jews are teaching young little Jewish people to read, little children, they put honey on the book and they lick it off the page as they see that there. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. They're true, they're righteous. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. People have a wrong idea about the judgments of God. They've got a wrong idea about a lot of things. If you say judgment, they say, "Oh, this is not the judgment of God. This is," and they get all fired up. The judgment of God is true and righteous and sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Psalm 48:11 says, "Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments." It's something to rejoice about. It's something to be glad about when God has made known His judgments. Psalm 119 is the longest book in the Bible, and every verse about it in it, I think, but maybe one or two, mentions God's judgments, God's statutes, God's word. his ordinances. And of course, all of these things are his word, his decree on a matter. I picked out just a few of them. You can find more. Psalm 119:7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Psalm 119:13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 20, my soul breaks for the longing that it has unto thy judgments at all times. You know, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our wills, our emotions should long to know God's will. His judgments are his will, written in the word for us. The psalm, the writer of the psalm writes, my soul breaks for the longing that it has unto your judgments. See, not something to be feared. That is, if you align yourself with the judgments of God, you're supposed to be finding out what God's judgments are, and then you're supposed to be agreeing with those judgments. Nations also are supposed to be agreeing with those judgments. And then everything is good and wonderful. Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. God has caused his judgments to be written in the book for men and for nations. They are given, men and nations are given free wills to choose the way of truth or to choose their own ways. In choosing the way of truth, you choose blessings, you choose a glorious future. And in choosing their own ways, nations choose for themselves judgment. Psalm 119:39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. God's judgments are good. They're not bad. Job 34:4, let us choose judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. You have to know the word to do it. You have to get in God's word to do it. You can't just run along out there running nations politically and ignoring what God has said about his bringing the Jews back home, about his rebuilding Jerusalem. You can't fight against that plan of God and no blessing. And that's what got the Bush administration in trouble. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? How can you do justly? You can't decide in your own mind what is just and good judgment. You have to get into the Word of God. Whose judgments on matters can we trust? Can we trust politicians? They claim to have answers, which they trumpet while they're running for office. And they know as well as we do that they will not, indeed they cannot, fulfill their campaign promises. In fact, nations and their leaders are now in the predicament Jesus predicted in Luke 21:25. King James translates it, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The Amplified Bible translates it like this. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth there will be distress, trouble and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity, without resources, left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn, at the roaring of the tossing of the sea. Does that remind you of anything that's going on right now? Well, we'll bail this one out and we'll bail that one out. We'll give money to the ones that got us in trouble in the first place. How about the economist? Can we trust their judgment on things? They assured us they were experts. They could look after our money. Then one day in September 2008, they told us it had vanished. Where did it go? Alan Greenspan, the expert, upon whose timed utterances the nation and the world waited with bated breath. You remember those days? Today, Alan Greenspan is going to speak at 11 o'clock.
Will the interest rates rise or will the interest rate decrease? Somehow he was magically controlling our economy upon the rise and the fall of his word having to do with the interest rate.
But when whatever this is that happened in September happened, I read that Alan Greenspan, the expert, said,
I was shocked. No, we cannot trust their judgments. We can only trust the judgments of one. In Romans 3, it is written, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The word of God, the writing of the word of God, came through Jewish hands. I often say this, he didn't trust Americans to do it. For one thing, we came too late upon the scene. There's only been in America in the last couple of hundred years, a little more. The Jews and Israel, they've been around for thousands of years, 4,000 years, 3,500 years ago, Abraham, the first Jew. So God gave them the word of God to write, and he knew they would be very watchful of it, that they did it particularly accurately. Chiefly, because unto them were committed the oracles of God, Romans 3:2. Romans 3:3, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? God will judge the world, and the only thing true about it is what God has said. That fourth verse again in the Amplified reads, by no means let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say, and prevail when you are judged by sinful men. Yes, sinful men judge God, but God is truth, no matter what they say. No matter what they say in the classrooms of America or around the world, let God be true and every man a liar. People are always asking me what's happening. One thing for sure, we are in the last day's judgment of the nations. The harvest, if you will. Harvest must be judged. The wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. The harvest of obedience to or rebellion against God's judgments is going on. The future is as bright as God can make it. He's moving toward perfection. On the way to perfection, there is judgment. Particularly now, his judgment of the nations is happening. We're offering Brother Hagin's book, I Believe in Visions, for only $5. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and ask about enrolling for our School of Eschatology right here on the grounds of Prayer Mountain. We'll gather about 200 of us, and we'll look from April 14 through 27. We'll look deeply into the book of Daniel and how it applies to the book of Revelation. Call to register. Shalom.